Take your scriptures and turn with me this morning to John chapter 3. We begin this morning at verse 31. I'm going to read through verse 36. Our text this morning is verse 32. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Father, this morning we are so thankful, those of us that have received the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So thankful this morning for that glorious gift of Christ. We pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that you would cause appreciation to swell in the heart and life of every believer, and that the sinner's heart would be made uniquely aware of the individual's own sin and the glorious opportunity that has been afforded us because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Today, as we deal with things that, quite honestly, Lord, are beyond us by way of full comprehension, we just ask you by the Spirit to work in our lives for the sake of understanding and application to your glory. Thank you for this occasion together on the first Sunday of the new year. We ask your blessing upon one and all, for we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. No catch. No catch. The use of video replay in the game of football has made a number of things simple, quite complex. It's difficult for the average fan to understand anymore what a catch is or a catch isn't. If the ball is moving in the hands of the receiver when it hits the ground while falling out of bounds, no catch. No catch even if the receiver never drops the ball on the ground after being hit. We become accustomed to long delays as referees watch video loops again and again and again and again, looking for definitive evidence of a catch or no catch. Now, the reason that I'm speaking this morning for a few moments about no catch is because in verse 32, you have the word receiveth, which means to take with the hand or to catch. The word is found in a rather haunting phrase, no man receiveth his testimony. John said, no man catches the truth of Jesus Christ. That sounds serious, and it is. This verse is part of a larger expression of the truth of Jesus the Christ that runs beginning with verse 31 through verse 36. It builds upon the stated necessity previously studied in verse 7. We've called that the must of the sinner. For Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Verses 31 to 36 builds upon the expression stated of necessity in verse 14. Jesus said that he must be lifted up in sacrificial death. We've called this the must of the Savior. He was born to die that we might live. We've also called your attention to the must of God's servant in verse 30. The expression of 31 to 36 builds upon the stated must of John the Baptizer and his understanding of the superiority of Jesus as the Christ. John knew himself not to be the Christ or the Messiah. He knew himself to be the voice that introduced the Christ or the Messiah. Clearly, Jesus is Christ. For the purposes of our study, we characterize the section verses 31 to 36 as sound logic for underscoring the necessity of placing one's faith in Jesus Christ. Last week, from verse 31, we spoke of the preeminence of Jesus the Christ. He is from above, and he is indeed above all. He did not start out here and fly up there and then come back here with God's truth. He was, according to the scripture, always there, and at a given point in time came here as the single expression of God to man. Verse 31 says that he is from above, and that he is indeed above all. Building upon that thought, we come to verse 32, and John helps us to think about three things. One, the experience of Jesus before he came, and two, the expression of Jesus as the truth. And then John, number three, helps us to confront the evil rejection of the truth in as presented in Jesus, both back in the day and as well as today. So three things in verse 32, the experience of Jesus before he came, the expression of Jesus in the truth, and finally, the evil rejection of the truth in Jesus, both then and now. On this Communion Sunday, with the elements of the cross before us, as represented on the Lord's table, we give brief thought, first of all this morning, to the experience of God the Son in the abode of God before he became human. John asks us to think specifically about what pre-incarnate Christ saw and heard in the abode of God. John asks us to think about what Jesus saw in the abode of God and what he heard by way of dialogue among the Godhead. Now, does that sound deep to you? It is. I'm telling you that the simplicity of words in verse 32 move you right to the edge of human understanding. But nonetheless, here we are, so here we go. Verse 32, and what he, I would argue for a capital H, for what he hath seen and heard, that he, I would argue for a capital H, testifieth, and no man receiveth his, I would argue for a capital H, his testimony. First phrase, and what he, capital H, Jesus, hath seen and heard. What did Jesus see and hear before, at the appointed time, he was born of the woman? What did Jesus hear and see before what we call Christmas? What God the Son saw and heard in eternity past was certainly the interaction of loving stuff. Now, doesn't that sound profound? That's the name I gave it. Loving stuff. I don't know what to call it. What do you think I am, educated or something? Loving stuff. There was this loving stuff going on between the Father and the Son and the Spirit in eternity past. And among the loving stuff between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, there was a deliberation within the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, as one, in dialogue with himself, concerning what? Answer, concerning the divine decree to save sinful mankind. I don't know that any of the conversation went like this, but as I let my mind try to develop some sense of sanctified imagination, you could almost hear God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit saying, we're going to create angels. Some of them will fall. We're not going to save any of them. No angels saved. We're going to create man. Mankind is going to fall. And we will save some. Welcome to the celebration of the Lord's table. By the cross of Christ, God has acted to save some. The Father's will of it was heard by the Son. The Son's commitment to the mission of it was heard by the Father and the Spirit. And the Spirit's facilitation of it was all ordained before the foundation of the world. So says the Word of God. And so when you read this little phrase, what he, in reference to Jesus Christ, hath, past tense, seen and heard, you enter into this unbelievable sanctity between the eternal Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, in resolve to save sinful mankind. That, says the apostle, verse 32, that information, that which was ordained, that plan of salvation, that reality of the cross, that which God the Son saw, that which God the Son heard, the verse says, he hath faithfully testified to mankind. See it? And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. He is the faithful heavenly witness of the truth of God for man. There is no truth of God apart from Jesus Christ. There is no truth from God apart from Jesus Christ. We're not making that up. It's not some exclusive position that we've taken for our own self-aggrandizement. But rather, that is our position because the Bible clearly says that Jesus spoke faithfully what he had seen and heard in eternity past before there was a blade of grass. He is the faithful representation of the truth of God to mankind. That expression builds upon the stated necessity of verse 14, where Jesus said he must be lifted up in sacrificial death. The must of the Savior, if you will. The must of the Savior. When the Apostle John had his heavenly vision on the Isle of Patmos, he addressed the seven churches of Asia Minor and told them that the revelation that he received on the Isle of Patmos was, quote, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and, listen to this, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. The faithful witness is not Muhammad. The faithful witness is not Buddha. The faithful witness is not Confucius. The faithful witness of God is Jesus Christ. And when in a coming day the Lord Jesus Christ steps out on a cloud, as recorded in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, he is called faithful and true because he is the ultimate expression of God to man. God himself, a man. So Jesus hears and sees all of these glorious things in eternity past, and what has been seen and heard, what has been concluded and decreed among the Godhead, the Almighty, has been now faithfully declared on the earth. And that is why when you come to a gospel preaching church like this one, when you listen to a faithful messenger of the things of the Scripture again and again and again and again and again and again, they will tell you the truth of the Lord Jesus. Because apart from Him, there is no other. Because what He has seen and heard, He Himself has given witness to, and He has provided for in His work at the cross. Now, you would think that such a glorious one as this would be welcomed and cherished by the whole of humanity as the celebrity of all celebrities. But the experience of Jesus in eternity past and the unique expression of Jesus on the earth of that which eternity had ordained was met not with enthusiastic joy and celebration, but rather with the evil that had gripped the sinners' hearts and caused widespread rejection of the Lord's Christ. And so our verse interestingly says not only that He had seen and heard these glorious things and faithfully testified those things, but the last phrase of the verse, a haunting part of the verse, says, "And no man receiveth His testimony." No man receiveth His testimony. The evil that had gripped the sinful heart of man caused widespread rejection of the Lord Christ, just as the evil that has gripped the sinner's heart causes widespread rejection of the Lord Christ. We read an ancient prophecy, Isaiah 53, the assertion of the Lord's rejection in the first century. I read for you Isaiah 53, 1-3. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Thus we likewise recently read in the New Testament era of the rejection of Jesus Christ in Israel of old, John 1:11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." It is fair to say that no other individual on earth has ever been treated with such injustice, that no other individual on earth in comparison has been treated as poorly as was the Lord Jesus in the first advent. It is likewise fair to say that most people today treat the Lord with contempt. Even among professing Christians, the things of the Lord are often treated with a dismissive attitude and lightness on becoming the King of Kings. You would think, based upon who He is, you would think, based upon what He saw and what He heard in eternity past, you would think about the faithfulness of His representation of the truth of God in the first advent, why, you would think that He would be welcomed with open arms. But the truth was, and the truth is, by and large, the Lord Jesus is rejected by billions upon billions of people in the world this very day. Today we partake of unleavened bread and drink of the fruit of the vine in truthful remembrance of Him. The old Christmas cantata was entitled, Love Came Down. And our text declares the truth that truth came down. And yet, men, generally, people, generally, regard that truth of Christ lightly. This morning, as the recognized pastoral leader of this church, I would like to say, not here. Christ has been treated poorly. I would like to say, not here. Is that okay with you? I would like to say, not us. Christ has been treated poorly. Not among us. Christ has been treated poorly. Not here. I would like to say, not today. Christ has been treated poorly around the world for generations. But not us, not here, not today. And all God's people say, we get to treat the Lord right. I was in Iowa, minding my own business in the summer with the windows rolled down in the car. Yes, we rolled our windows down in cars of old. And I wasn't like Fred Flintstone kicking to make the thing go either. But nonetheless, Sherry and I were driving down the road and I saw this guy. And he was standing by his vehicle and he's just pounding on a woman. And I just couldn't take it. And so I slammed on the brakes and I put the thing into park and I jumped out. I said, hey, leave her alone. And he started to give me grief until he saw I was quite a bit bigger than him. And he left her alone and took off in a huff. And she thanked me. And the store owner came out and started to deal and talk to her and make things were right. And so I got back in my car and left. I'm so glad that day that I stood up for that woman. I don't care what kind of woman she was. I'm just glad I stood up for her. Isn't it about time you and I stood up for Christ? He's no woman. He's not frail. He can stand on his own. But all that you and I would stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. Oh, that rather than walking through life so apologetic that we were Christians. Oh, that we would have this sense of how poorly the Lord has been treated for generations and generations. And we would say in our souls, not us, not here, not today. May Jesus Christ be praised here among us. Today. Father, help us today to glorify the truth of thy holy Son Jesus as your blood-bought children. And let no one here be confused by the tokens of our remembrance. For no one is saved by eating bread and drinking juice, but by faith in Jesus Christ sent by you, by the accomplishments His accomplishments on the cross, by the truth of His glorious resurrection. Many of us have come to know ourselves to be thy children. In obedience as such, we partake today to rightly express the good news, essentially connected to Him who is faithful and true. We want to pray for any among us that know not Christ, that the day might be the day when the Spirit of God opens the understanding and prepares the heart to be tender and faith to surge and life anew to be received because of the accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray today in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.